The hour of 10:15 having arrived, I will call the House Tax Committee to order when we have a quorum. We have before us today two bills, House File 215, House File 1030. We'll start out with House File 215, which when we have a quorum, I will move. Are there any amendments to House File 215?
Yes, there is.
There is one amendment which we will... Why don't you describe the bill as amended, and we will take official action as soon as we have a quorum. Welcome, committee, sir. Please present your bill, Representative Howe.
Thank you, Chair Davids. And basically what this bill does is House File 215 takes the sales tax that's already collected on automotive sales, the sales of automotive parts that currently goes to the general fund, and dedicates it to transportation. And I don't believe this is the end-all and do-all, but I do believe it's a method to show that we prioritize transportation in this biennium, and I believe that it's a step in the right direction. The way this, and I'll give you a little example of how this idea came to being, is that it came to me while I was repairing my own vehicle that has over 200,000 miles on it. And I'm going to take you back a little bit. When I got my first car, I traded a motorcycle that didn't work and $50 for my first car that was parked in a plowed field next to a granary, and I tied it had 113,000 miles on it. People didn't want it anymore. It was considered junk because it had over 100,000 miles on it. Tied a log chain to it, hooked it to my dad's pickup, and drug it 66 miles home. And I put my nice little tape deck in there, newfangled cassette deck, couple of speakers, new battery, and I sat there for a month and listened to cassette tapes until I could have the money to fix it and get it running again. And the reason I tell you that story is that was cars that didn't work because there were 100,000 miles on them. They were considered junk. Today I own four vehicles. I got one vehicle with less than 100,000 miles. Two of them have over 200,000 miles on them. They last longer, which means we buy, in fact, well, my family buys less vehicles, which means the taxes on the sales tax that goes to the transportation fund are less. So as I'm bloodying my knuckles working on my $200,000 vehicle, I'm thinking I'm buying all these parts to keep this vehicle on there, but the sales tax on those parts are not going to where it should, which to me is transportation. Because it really, when I had that slow leak in the right front, and I found out it was a cracked aluminum, cast aluminum wheel from a pothole, so I had to go buy a new rim to fix my tire, that sales tax didn't go to fix that road and fix that pothole. This, I think, is a step in the right direction that does that. So this bill would require the Department of Revenue to estimate the sales tax collections, and they'd use, a national database to do that, so we don't need another FTE on this thing. And right now, with the amendment, it would first dedicate $150 million from the general revenue, and then it would, after that, dedicate in FY17, $234, and FY18, $239 million. The first fiscal note came in much less than that, and to my surprise, when the fiscal note was done, it indicated that they didn't assume that tires, batteries, hoses, fluids were not included in the bill, and it was my intent to include that all in the bill. So that's what the amendment does. The amendment gathers all the parts, tires, fluids that would go on an automobile and dedicates that to roads and bridges and the highway user tax distribution fund. So, Chair Davids, that's the bill.
Thank you, Representative Howe. Is there anyone, first of all, from the audience that wishes to testify on behalf of or with concerns on House File 215?
you.
Okay, with that, then we'll go to questions from members. Any questions from members? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There is one testifier.
Oh, there is. Okay. Let's go there first. We've got you on the list, Representative Petersburg.
Just real quick. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
You bet. Todd Olson with Metro Cities. I just chatted with the author this morning. Just as we're looking at putting general fund money through the formula, we just want to remind members that the formula doesn't get to everyone that is really intended to get it. Cities under 5,000 don't receive any money through the formula. Cities over 5,000 only can use the money towards 20% of the streets on their system. So every city in the state has needs outside of the constitutional formula. We just want to talk to the author about working on maybe trying to address that as we go through the process.
Okay, any questions? Well, first of all, we do have a quorum. I'll officially call the meeting to order. Representative Petersburg moves the minutes of February 25th. Any additions or corrections? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, now we have, I will move House File 215. I will now move the amendment H0215A3. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill in the form that the author would like. I have Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hall. Thank you for the bill. Quick question for just clarification, if I understand this right. We're not asking the department or anybody to keep separate track of it. We are actually asking them to calculate the amount of tax based upon a federal model, correct? So that there isn't really a lot of extra work involved with this calculation, correct?
Representative Howe?
Correct. Actually, what it does is it requires the Department of Revenue to base the calculation on federal data and the department consumption model. So these models already exist, and there's federal data, and that's where they calculate the estimate.
Representative Petersburg?
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone from the department that would like to make any comments on this bill as amended? No? Okay. Representative Dabney, did you have a question?
Yes, for the author. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, there's always a tension between dedicating funds to certain purposes and making sure that we have a general fund that we as the legislature can come forward with each biennium and say, okay, what are the current priorities? What are the current demands on the general fund? What are the fires we need to put out? That sort of thing. So I guess, you know, taking your idea here a little further, should we dedicate the sales tax on bicycles to trails, the sales tax on boats to the DNR and boat repair materials, the sales tax on pencils to the K-12 budget?
Somehow.
That's a proposal that could come forward if you care to do it. I don't see a real issue with that, tell you the truth, but I do believe if you want to make transportation a priority, we need to take a step in that direction. I would not be opposed to doing those things if you had a purpose for doing it. I believe this, everyone has heard the state of Minnesota, the citizens out there saying transportation needs to be a priority. I believe this is a step in that direction, and I think it's a good model to go forward with.
Representative Dabney?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would remind you that trails are transportation, that people commute, you know, by using trails. Goods are transferred, are moved around using our trail system. So that would be part of transportation. But why not dedicate this money to local government aid? Because our transportation system is subsidized by property taxes. And actions that reduce property taxes would both support transportation and support middle-class families in some of the more challenging and regressive taxes that they have to pay.
Representative Howe?
Well, I don't have any argument there that those that property taxes are a regressive tax. I totally agree with that. But I believe that right now this is a step to fix the transportation piece. When you send it to local government aid, there's no dedication there. You have no idea and no control over where those funds are going to be used. Now, if you wanted to try to do that and dedicate that to make sure it goes to fixing their potholes in the roads, I probably may support that. But right now, I believe this is a good step in the right direction. It helps fix our roads and bridges, and it puts over $200 million into the pot to get us further down the road to a solution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Dabney. Thank you, Representative Simonson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Howe. I agree with you from the standpoint that I think transportation should be a priority. I completely agree with that statement. What concerns me about your bill is that, you know, I'll have to go back to my district and try to explain to them that, you know, our priority is on funding transportation here at the legislature in 2015. And I think they're already aware of that. But I think with this bill, I have to go back and explain that, you know, we were shifting monies out of the general fund and dedicating them to transportation through the highway user tax distribution fund. And I guess, you know, they're going to ask me, okay, where are we going to take the money from? Are we going to reduce funding to K-12 education? Are we going to reduce funding to higher education? Are we going to reduce funding to health and human services budget? Where, you know, this $200 million that you want to transfer into the highway user tax fund, you know, where is that going to come from will be the question. So in my continued spirit of trying to get along, I would offer you an alternative solution that I think I could support, because I do believe that transportation should be a priority. So I would suggest, and if you would accept it, I'd be happy to offer an amendment, but if you won't, I won't. But rather than shift these dollars from the general fund to the highway fund, what would you think about, or let's say in the spirit of this argument that people are driving cars longer and there are more and more repairs being done and not everybody has the ability to do that at home, what would you say about replacing this revenue source with, say, a sales tax on repair labor?
Representative Howe?
Well, and the issue I have there is that's a new tax, and I'm not for a new tax, because I think that what I've heard out there, they're taxed enough. So all I want to, what I'm looking at is taking the sales tax that's already collected and rededicating it. So I'm opposed to going down the road of a new tax to fund something that I think that we've got plenty of revenue to do.
Representative Simonson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Howell. And, you know, I kind of thought that would be your answer, and I respect that. But I just want to go on the record and say that, you know, this is one of those things that's going to sound good and it's going to feel good when we say we're going to spend, you know, an additional $200 million a year on transportation and dedicate it to roads and bridges. That's a great soundbite. But the flip side of that is it creates a large hole in our general fund, and that has to come from somewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Simonson. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think my question is probably more directed at you. I think going into the session, we all know that transportation was going to be a major issue. And do you see, you know, this bill will be, I'm assuming, laid over for possible inclusion. So is transportation funding going to be handled in the tax bill, or will we ultimately be collecting transportation-related bills in this committee and then reporting out a transportation bill? I'm just kind of trying to figure out, being we're talking transportation, what road we're on. The numbers in this bill, without getting involved, Mr. Chairman, with the amounts, but, you know, some of the studies have said we need to maintain our infrastructure somewhere getting close to about $1 billion a year. So even if you used this bill and this approach, it's only a partial solution, without getting into the debate that others have raised about competition for dollars within the general fund. But what road are we on, to use a bit of a pun?
Well, and thank you, Chair Carlson. What we're looking at today is anything, I feel like the human vacuum cleaner of bills that say tax or fee. We want those to be here. Now, it's my intention today to move it over for possible inclusion in an omnibus tax bill at this point, unless I hear differently from the fourth floor. I learned some very good lessons from Chair Lincheski in that we need to look very carefully at all issues having to do with taxes and make sure that they come through the tax committee. So that's my intention at this point. But, you know, who knows where we're at a month from now.
Yeah,
so it's my intention at this point to keep the bill here.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I'm not arguing that transportation-related bills shouldn't go through taxes, but you know, you have a couple of choices how you move forward from here, whether it'll be a separate transportation bill or whether the Transportation Committee ultimately puts something else together and re-refers it. But I think with the high interest that many members in the general public have in transportation, it wouldn't hurt sooner rather than later to kind of know what the approach is going to be to transportation, because right now we've got many different plans on the table, and the question is where and how those plans will come together, and then ultimately whether you do it in the tax bill or whether you do it with another vehicle. But if you could inform us at some point when you get the word from upstairs, then that would be helpful. Thank you.
And Chair Carlson, thank you. That's a very important point. And Chair Lanchesky and I have had some of these discussions also, and I don't have a definite answer for you right now. I do know for now that I'm going to be the great hoarder of bills. And so they're going to be coming in here, and then it will take direction from the leadership corner to figure out exactly what goes where. So for today here, but I can't promise it's going to stay here, I'll make every effort to keep tax issues in the tax committee. I get a little touchy. Questions? If not, thank you very much. Any other questions? Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, I've been meaning to mention this before because there seems to be some trepidation about the general fund, and I had Mr. Marks run a, as I could remember some of this, revenues from the general fund for the past 28 years, and that's 14 bienniums. And only two bienniums were there any shrinkage in the general fund. Otherwise, we were advancing the general fund at the rate of anywhere from 15% down to, I think the low one on here is 6.8. The 2 years that were the general fund did not go up, of course, were the years 2008, 2009, and the general fund was off by $354 million in 2010-11 when it was off by $1,183,000,000. And those were tough years, probably the toughest since the real depression back in the 20s and 30s. And my point is that we've grown our general fund revenue to the state from $11 billion in 11-9 in 1988 to the current 14-15 to 39-370, and that that money continues to accrue, and so the decision we make is that we are going to spend some of the surplus. I think the surplus coming through this time is going to be larger than you imagine. So I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a look at some different ideas about where we get money. And you can still fund schools and health and human services and housing and all the stuff that the Democrats like to fund, and you can probably put some hard goods out there too in bricks and mortar like roads. So I put myself on this bill, I think. I think it's a new approach to the many millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that are being sucked out of the Highway User Tax Fund right now. And this is an example of one that should be in there, which is over, I think, $200 million. Was that I was looking at here a minute ago? So I think it's something that should be considered. And there's about, by my count, over $400 million that possibly could be used for transportation. Whether or not we do that or not is another question. But since you can backfill those monies with the increased general fund monies that are coming in, and since you that's probably going to be much more sizable than you think. I would bet on about $1.9 billion at this juncture. So I think that it's something to be considered, and there might be others as well. I can think of some. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions for the author? I will move to lay over House File 215 as amended for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Chair, you know, before we go to the next bill, you know, because we were talking a little bit about, you know, at some point how you and Representative Knobloch and others will figure out how these tax, you know, groups will work. I mentioned this to you before, but I'll just mention it again. We're happy to assist in providing our list of all the tax bills that we know are all over in every single committee. And, you know, Mr. Chair, a great way to kill all those bad ideas is to just let them stay in those committees and never come out. There's a lot of bills that should not go anywhere, in my opinion, but I like that you're trying to herd them to you and make sure they, many of them don't become law. But even for ones you like, they do belong here. But I have the question on fees. You know, that is when the minority, with the current majority was in the minority, people did a very good job in this committee of making sure every bill that had a fee in it got to taxes. And that's still the law. The statute has not changed. A tax is a fee. And there are fees in every committee that are floating all over the place, and I assume they're all going to be heard in taxes as well. And even, you know, to the point where they're moving, you know, from committee to committee, and I'm assuming you and your staff are telling all those authors that before they go to the floor, they all have to get through taxes. So I'm just, you know, wondering if you can, like you stated on the tax bills, if you can confirm that all the fee bills will get through this committee too. That's been the process here for, I think, 8 years. And so they're, you know, they're all over the place, and I wonder when we'll start hearing all the fees.
Well, thank you, Chair Lincheski. There are, and we do need some definitions. Of course, like I said, I want to bring everything tax fee in that I can, but I believe by definition some fees are not considered a tax. And so we may need to, maybe Mr. Michael or Ms. Dalton could kind of give us, and I think it's important to get this down. We want to get this right. As far as House rules go, what's the definition of a tax versus a fee, and what fees need to come to the tax committee, and which ones may not? Representative Lincheski.
And I would love to hear Mr. Michael and others talk about that, but I also, you know, just want to, you know, there is the House rule. That is one thing about how, you know, folks can consult on that, and there were times that we didn't hear every single thing, but, you know, many of the members who are sitting in this room right now, who were in the minority, made frequent complaints that things get to taxes, and I honored everyone. And I hope you will do the same for our side. So there are some things that I think, you know, we know it's a little complicated, but what I was referencing is the state law and not the House rule. And the state law, many legislators seem to think was eliminated. And, I hope the House research can also people tell us that, too, because I think the law that Senator Pogemiller and Representative Kroenke, two tax chairs, passed in conference committee, I was on that conference committee, is still the law of the state. So if you, Mr. Chair, would let Mr. Michael tell us not only your question about the House rule and how chairs have some flexibility, but what the state law is as it relates to taxes and fees, too. And you know, for members who have never been on taxes or haven't followed this, I think it really became a political football when Governor Pawlenty supported a cigarette tax like I have, but he called it the health impact fee. And so both sides started playing games with this stuff, and so that's unfortunate. But nonetheless, we have had a system for a lot of years now, as the majorities have flipped, that fee bills go through this committee. So, you know, part of it is up to you, but part of it is state law, and I just, you know, hope members can kind of hear a little bit about both. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Lincheski, and I think that's a very good idea. Maybe if Mr. Michael could start with what the state law says, and then what the House rules say. Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there in Chapter 645, as Representative Lincheski mentioned, there is a definition. That's the chapter that contains the definitions that apply to all of the Minnesota statutes. There is sort of a default definition of what's a tax, and that is very expansively defined under this law that was authored by former Chair Krenke and Senator Pogemiller, that essentially defines almost all fees as constituting taxes. The House rule that sets the jurisdiction of the tax committee is much narrower than the statute in that it applies to the mandatory jurisdiction for the tax committee applies to essentially all bills that raise substantial revenue or make changes in tax policy. And there's a specific provision that says that fees that are essentially intended to recover the administrative costs associated with the activity that the fee payer is involved with are not taxes. And so there is a conflict between the statute and the rule. And I think from my point of view, the Constitution invests the houses of the legislature with the responsibility for making the rules that govern their proceedings. And so each house has the constitutional responsibility to establish its rules of procedures. And I think, you know, if push comes to shove, a prior legislature, by enacting a statute signed by the governor, cannot bind the hands of the current House or the current Senate. And so I think the House rule basically, because it's the way the House itself has decided to govern its procedure, probably governs rather than the statute. But this, again, of course, is a matter of discussion that you all engage in. So,
Ms. Dalton? You've got the book open. Looks like you're ready to go.
Mr. Chair, I have nothing to add. I just decided to pull out the actual definition in case somebody wanted to actually hear the actual definition.
I'd kind of like to hear it.
What is the?
I mean, Mr. Michael did a fine job. Don't get me wrong, but let's just hear what he says exactly.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in section 645.44, subdivision 19. The definition of fee and tax. Tax means any fee, charge, exaction, or assessment imposed by a governmental entity on an individual, person, entity, transaction, good, service, or other thing. It excludes a price that an individual or entity chooses voluntarily to pay in return for receipt of goods or services provided by the governmental entity. A government good or service does not include access to or authority to engage in private market transactions with a non-governmental party, such as licenses, to engage in a trade, profession, or business, or to improve private property.
Carolyn Chesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it was good to hear that. And I think in the way I interpret it, what Mr. Michael said, and I think this is what Rep. Carlson and I did, which is sort of what Mr. Michael was saying is at the end of the day, Mr. Chair, you and Speaker Dowd and Chair Knobloch get to decide. And I think that's right. You're in the majority, and I think the House rule allows you to confer you with Chair Knobloch and the Speaker and decide what route you'd like to take. And that's what we did. But I only wanted to bring it up so members have an outlook about how you intend to handle fees. And so I agree it is your authority. I will say, I hope as you make those decisions, you'll take in past actions of this committee and how people treated those requests, because many members here requested that I hear them when I honestly probably didn't have to, but I honored them, and I hope that you'll do the same thing. So thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Chesky. Okay, thank you very much. Item next, House File 1030, Mr. Anderson. Representative Anderson, if you could please join us. And while Representative Anderson's coming down, Anderson M., I'll ask the questions that I ask. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on behalf of or with concerns in regards to House File 1030. Okay, does the department wish to make comments on testifying the bill? Okay, I'm getting a no on that one at this point. You're welcome to any time you feel you need to. Okay, so I will move House File 1030, and of course the motion will be to later for possible inclusion, so it's going to be staying right here in this committee. So welcome to the Tax Committee, Representative Anderson M., if you could please present your bill for the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mark Anderson. First of all, in the tradition of bringing treats to the Tax Committee, I could have stopped at Byerly's or any of the other stores today, but I don't think that would be probably in my best interest, since I own a food production company, but at least the Department of Agriculture calls beer food. So therefore, I'm going to give everybody an offer that if you come up to the brewery, the first one's on me for the committee. Right. Now, that being
said, is it less than $5?
I'm sorry?
Well, you're not lobbyists. You can give us a car if you want.
That's right. Well, plus mine comes at cost.
Right? Okay, we better just leave
yes,
it at that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
To the bill.
To the bill. Bill number 1030. Now, had I waited another 10, 15 minutes and this thing would have hit 1040, we would have hit the jackpot on that, on the bill number. I couldn't resist. To the bill.
We're 10 off.
So far. Mr. Chair, the reason I bring this bill, I've been a businessman most of my life, and I've employed people most of my life. And I'm basically here on behalf of most of the business owners in Minnesota. This bill is a long time coming in my eyes. Is that we all know the history of withholding. And I'm not here to talk about the federal side. The federal side started first. The state just basically emulated the federal. So what the bill actually does is removes the mandate of withholding the state portion of the taxes from the business. The business, if you want to really simplify this, the Department of Revenue is mandated to collect a tax on a taxpayer. And somehow they've partnered up with a business entity. Although I'm sure the business entity didn't really want to be a partner in this. So, but the tax that actually is being collected comes through the business. So in this partnership, the businessman is now a tax collector. Now, not myself nor any other person that I know that's actually started a business has gone into business to be a tax collector. That's not our job. If the state or the federal wants to tax or collect a tax from an individual, they should have to go to that individual to collect the tax. The liability and the exposure on a businessman is tremendous. If they screw up on anything that is required for any type of reporting, do they go to the taxpayer? No, they come after the businessman. And therein lies the great exposure, the liability. So my bill is basically removing that exposure and allowing the Minnesota Department of Revenue to go directly to the taxpayers with their collection of the required state tax. How do you do that? Well, I would think that it would be simple as a monthly utility bill. You owe the tax, you pay it. Right now, we don't have withholding on our property taxes. Why do we have it on an income tax? So the bill is very, very simple and straightforward. And with that, I'll open to questions.
Okay, we have found that there's no one from the audience which testify for or against this bill, so we'll go right to member questions. Any member questions on House File 1030? There are no amendments. Okay, with that, thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for bringing this bill, Representative Anderson. You know, one of the things that we have that we struggle with here is how to mitigate the inherent oppression that government places on businesses as they try to operate in this state. I'm supportive of this direction, one that actually provide some relief to them. Have you talked to other business operators? Have you heard from others in your district about this too? Because I know I have mine. The impact this would have on them and the pro jobs element to it would talk about what this would do for business in our state.
Representative Anderson Amick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Drazkowski. Yes, I've talked to other business owners, and the reaction is pretty much the same. That the liability and the exposure, plus, you granted, this is just the state portion. I'd like to see this actually go through the federal as well. But the even businessmen like myself, we have to run this through a payroll services. That's costing me money. And through this whole procedure of me having this, quote, partnership with the Minnesota Department of Revenue, I get nothing. I absolutely get nothing out of this. I get nothing for it, but I am assumed all the liability. That's not fair.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson, this is an idea that is often discussed around the campfire sometimes in my district, or the kitchen table, or the poker table, which I have a poker game tonight, so we'll bring this up. But it's one of those issues that we talk around and we say, both on both sides, my friends who are Democrats and friends who are Republicans, and those who are in between, say, you know, that's not a bad idea. If people had to write a check personally out of their own account with their pen and make that amount of whatever it was, for some it's a lot, for some it's little, and had to sign their name and put it in the mail, man, they would pay attention of what politicians are doing down both at the state level and the federal level. And everybody thinks, you know, that's right. We would agree to that. If we actually physically had to write that check and bring it down to the post office and say, cash this, because this is what you're spending my money on, people would pay attention as to what we're doing down here, how we're spending their money, what we're saying, and how we're affecting their lives. The conversation has happened all of my life. I hear that. And yet nobody has ever really came up with the idea and say, you know what, we're going to put the word into action and bring a bill. So I appreciate you bringing this bill, and I know, of course, some are going to be for it, some are against it, but I think we can all agree that if people had to physically write their own check, they would make sure who they're checking off when they vote every other year. Don't you agree? So with that said, my question is this, Mr. Representative Anderson. In your district, have you heard this kind of talk amongst not only employers, who have to do the work? I'm an employer. We do this for my company, too. My wife hates that, of course, because, you know, I always have to give her less money. But she's my employer. I'm the employee. Sorry. She's the boss. Excuse me. Do you hear this amongst your constituents as well, that, you know, this is a great idea. We should write the check ourselves so we can make accountable every politician who's spending our money, either wisely or recklessly?
Representative Anderson M.
Mr. Chair and Representative McDonald, I too hear this from not only around the campfires, but I can walk into any cafe in my district and hear similar scenarios. And the way that you've presented this, if I were to walk through your district or my district right now and ask anybody on the street, can you tell me exactly how much you are paying on a biweekly basis for your state taxes? Most people can't. That's unfortunate. This bill would allow them to actually participate, just like a monthly utility bill. However you want to set it up. Would you like to write a check out? Would you like to do an auto withdrawal? However, it just makes them participate in the active procedure and removes the businessmen like yourself and myself, from being the liable exposure for the Department of Revenue.
And then in closing, I'm glad you brought up the utility bill. As a former mayor in the town of Delano, we often would hear from residents who get the utility bill once a month, my gosh, this is expensive. What in the Sam heck are you guys doing down there at the city hall? People do pay attention when they physically get that bill in the mail and they have to write that check. They'll take action. And as citizens, we must be vigilant for our freedoms. We property taxes too. We must pay attention to what people are doing, who we elect them to do, and how they're spending it. This is a great mechanism and tool that I think, and you would agree, will do that. So thank you, Representative Anderson. I support your bill. I hope it's not only possible inclusion, I hope it is included in the tax bill.
Chair Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Anderson, you're kind of looking at only half of the equation here because, you know, you're a magnificent job creator. You have literally hundreds of people that help you do what you are trying to do with the... you have lawyers, bookkeepers, accountants. All the people who work for payroll services are employed because you're an employer that hires them to do what you have to do. And so the employment lines would be long, may push our whole economy back into the recession we've just come out of if this bill were enacted.
Thank you, Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Anderson.
I'd like to address that.
Really?
Yeah, actually, I would. I actually would like to address that, Mr. Chair. Going back to all these professional people that I seem to be employing on the side, Representative Earhart, do you realize how many beers I have to sell to cover all of these professionals?
How many?
Chair Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, how many?
A lot.
Representative Anderson M.
A lot, Mr.
I think
Chair.
I'm losing control.
I'm sorry.
Representative Ansel.
Lost. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And with full disclosure here, Representative Anderson and I share a district line to my west and his east. And when I read his bill, I always read his bills, and I didn't think he was serious. I didn't think that this was actually a serious proposal, especially coming from a capitalist like Representative Anderson. My goodness, Representative, this would basically end end government as we know it in Minnesota. This would end all of the wonderful things that you take advantage of as an employer in Minnesota, and those wonderful workers that you hire, and so on and so forth. So, Representative Anderson, is this really a serious proposal?
Well, we cannot question members' intentions.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Do you want to follow up for some answers, sir?
No.
Thank you.
I think I made my...
Representative Malene.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on the range, we call them bonfires, not campfires. And I think the both of you need to come to a bonfire on the range because we must have a lot more fun at ours if you guys are discussing this at yours.
Is that a Massini's in the next room?
Green.
Yeah.
Representative Malene, great point.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So... You know, my question is, obviously, Representative Anderson, we've heard from your testimony that you will benefit personally from this legislation you have brought forward. You've made that very clear. So my question is, you know, have you talked to the Department of Revenue about administration and how this is going to work on their end as far as administering your proposal here?
Representative Anderson now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Malene. No, I have not talked to them. It's actually up to the state legislature to tell them what to do and how to implement it. That's our job. So if we're going to put this out there where somebody was going to put in a pay their taxes just like a monthly utility bill, that's up to us to tell them and put that into the statute, not the other way around.
Representative Malene?
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess that's interesting. I mean, from now on, when we're discussing mandates on the House floor, I guess I'll just say it's our job to tell people what to do so we don't have to ask them how it's going to work. So thank you, Representative Anderson.
Any other questions for members? Any other questions for members? If not, I will move House File at 1030 to lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Anything else for the good of the order? Tuesday, do we have an agenda for Tuesday yet or not yet? You'll watch your emails for an exciting, fun-filled, packed week next week of fine legislation. With that, we love government operations in this committee. Good government all the time. We adjourn.